We debated some of the votes in the NCLP, not all of them. If there's any questions you want to put to the department, we've got capable people to deal with the votes. Let me just make a list. We also welcome at this meeting Honorable Chani and Honorable Nguni. They just arrived from the previous meeting of constitutional review. Welcome to the meeting.
Thank you, Chair.
I just want to go down the line. Sheila. Harris. Okay. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Mine is only a comment. I would like to take this opportunity to commend the DG with his staff. They have done a sterling job. You know why I'm saying this? I was checking on all my committees, like correctional services, police. You know, the problem we had, like the shortage of funds, the capacity on the forensic side, the detective has been catered for. What I would like to be clarified is the term personnel cost pressure. What does it mean? So that we be able to be online. But really, I'm commenting them that they have done a wonderful job when taking into consideration from the budget or the committees which I used to sit. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mshile.
Thanks, Chairperson. I actually just want clarity. If I followed the presentation, I tend to understand that the current allocations are in line with the old configuration of departments. That's my understanding. That there is an exercise that is still pending to actually get the votes aligned to the new departments. Now, the technical corrections that we have been referring to, Chairperson, it looks like it has got something to do with renaming the department in this appropriation bill in line with the new configuration. Now, what I want to know is that these current names of the department have got specific mandates, but the budget allocations have not been realigned, but the naming have been aligned. Will that not actually cause confusion when people expecting from human settlement certain things to be done, only to find that the actual budget allocation is not actually with human settlement, especially when you talk about sanitation, which will be coming from water affairs? When you talk about human settlement, then we'll be expecting that sanitation allocation is there. But I think the presentation we have had, it doesn't actually mean that. Now, the second question that I just wanted to raise as well is the DG has said when an activity is transferred from one department to the other, also the financial resources, the budget allocation also will move with activity. I just wanted to check whether there has been any serious consideration where you've got an activity in a department which has got a huge administration to administer that particular activity. When you take that activity to a department which does not have a similar administrative infrastructure to be able to manage that particular activity, how do we then try and sort that one out? Because if you transfer expanded public works from work program from Department of Public Works, one will be saying that you are taking it from a more structured administration. And if you take it to human settlement, which doesn't have currently an administrative capacity, then you'll be taking it to a smaller department. But then how do we deal with an adjustment in terms of administrative purposes for that particular program in that particular new department? Those are just the two questions for clarity, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Farish.
Just before I get to my question, just to clear up, the total additions which you start detailing on page 7, those are additions to the budget announced in February. So I just need to check it before my whole question is premised on that.
So when you get the answer, you'll go on with your with the rest.
Yeah,
of
just you. Quickly, is that are those additions to the February?
Are they additions?
With your permission, Chair, no, those are additions that were made in February relative to the 2008 forward estimates.
Okay. Okay.
Please carry on.
Right. Well, then just with regard to the first item, the $30 billion loan to Eskom, I just wondered if you could expand a little bit on the structure of that loan and the possibility of it being repaid and how that would happen.
Anyone else? First, Honorable Mahoru.
Yes, Chair. I don't know whether I understand the figures that have been reflected there, but according to what I think I understood from them is that they are figures that are temporarily being transferred pending the passing of the bill. Is that so? My concern is at a figure which was said to be for rural development. If we can look at that figure, it seems to me it's very, very small to be said to be a figure that is going to fund rural development.
Honorable Leaf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could I please get an explanation in terms of page 22, verse 27, the item 4 there, restitution. There are two amounts under the transfers and subsidies column which are identical. The one is an asterisked amount, and I'm afraid my memory, short-term memory, isn't always that good, but if I could get an explanation as to why there's that second amount, and whether that amount or those combined amounts are going to be sufficient to meet the demands that we know are there to complete the restitution process, which is dragging on and needs to be completed. That's the one question. And then in terms of the previous vote, which is higher up on that page, and perhaps I should have started there, the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant of $12.442 billion, that is also a kind of once-off, if I understand the asterisk. Could we get some explanation of how that expenditure is going to take place and through which organizations, levels, spheres of government that's going to be channeled? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That is, your question is based on the bill, page 22. I just want to give them some direction. Any other members for questions? I'm coming back to you, Honorable Ipukuni.
Thanks, Chair. I've just got one question, Chair, which also relates to what Honorable Mashila asked. We've got departments that have been reconstituted, and some of the functions are actually overlapping to other departments like Treasury, Finance, and Economic Development. Now, in case when you allocate funds, what will happen to that function of which the core function, say, Economic Development, it fell, you know, in Treasury, it fell in DTI, probably Public Enterprise. How do you reconstitute those funds and who's they accountable? As you hear that some departments that have been informed, it's just the minister and his deputy.
I think we're going to take this round with questions that the department answer, then we can have a second round on Bill Harris. Then you get your opportunity. Mr. Naidu, please go on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me deal with the issue of the new departments and the renaming and the shifting of funds first, because there are several questions on that. This is certainly a confusing process. What we've done in this appropriation bill is simply to rename the departments and to create the structure for the votes for the new departments that have not yet had any funds allocated to it. So that's all that we have done at the moment. Right? We've renamed some departments and we've created the structure of the votes for a new department, for example, economic development. In the adjustments budget in October, we will do the second phase of that, and that shift money to reflect the new vote structure. So let's take an example of agriculture, forestry, and fisheries. Presently, forestry sits with the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, and fisheries sits with the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, actually. And we have to ring-fence those amounts and move them into the new vote called agriculture, forestry, and fisheries. Right? We'll do that in the adjustments budget if they are ready. So if the department has completed the process of ring-fencing those amounts, then in the adjustments budget we'll move those to the new vote. If not, we'll only be able to do it in February next year. Right? Now, there are three different cases here. The first case is where there's no difference in the functions of the department, but there's a change in name. So, for example, the Department of International Relations, there isn't really any change in the functions of the department. So we're not anticipating any split of money or any movement of money. Right? The second case is where functions are moving and where functions are shifting, existing functions. So, for example, the agriculture, forestry, and fisheries example, we would have to create the new vote, agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, by carving up the old Department of Agriculture's budget, the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry's budget, and the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism's budget. So there will be a ring-fencing of money and a shifting of funds to those votes. The third case is where there are new departments, brand new functions, and for example, in the presidency, the planning function is a new function, so there'll have to be some resources allocated there. The economic development department is a new department, and there would have to be some resources allocated there. Rural development, presently, the Department of Land Affairs has money on its vote, not just for land reform and land restitution, but also for post-settlement support to farmers, and some of the money that's there would go into the rural development vote. But I guess then it's a choice about whether the government wants to increase those budgets for rural development because it's now a new priority. It's certainly a budget priority. So in the adjustments budget or in the 2010 budget, the amount of money we spend on rural development might rise, probably will rise, given its importance as a priority. So the fourth phase of this is where we then cancel some votes, where we some votes are set up temporarily as post boxes, in other words. So, you know, the present Department of Agriculture vote, the agriculture vote would move into that new vote called Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries, and the old agriculture vote will cease to exist. It is quite confusing, but I hope I've explained it as simply as I could. If there's any confusion about this matter, please raise your hand. I'll try and go through it again before I go through some of the other questions. Let's just deal with this issue first, Mr. Chair.
Follow up. Mr. Speaker, I didn't ask the first question, but now I do have a question, and I apologize if I prolong the meeting. So essentially what you're saying is that these names here are simply names, but in fact it's a budget for the old department. It would possibly have been simpler if it had been the name of the old department and we'd know what we were talking about. And because what the implication now is that the Rural Development Landform, which happens to be the page that's open in front of me, has a budget of whatever the total is, 4 point whatever, which is not the fact at all. It's actually the budget for? Question. I don't know. Thank you.
We have not yet completed the process of taking the rural development functions that might sit somewhere else. Some rural development programs sat in the old Department of Provincial and Local Government. Some rural development functions may have sat in the old Department of Agriculture. The process where we've ring-fenced those amounts and moved it into the new vote, Rural Development and Land Reform, has not yet been completed. We're not the only player in that role. It's principally the responsibility of the departments, but the DPSA is coordinating the process whereby the post-establishment, the staff establishment is ring-fenced, the amounts of money and the budget. We've got various technical task teams, which Janine sits on one or two, but the Treasury sits on task teams that is still trying to ring-fence those amounts so that we can move it to the new vote. You're correct that process has not yet been completed. Of course, the personnel would move too. The administrative components would move too. So if the Expanded Public Works Program Coordinating Unit is to move from the Department of Public Works to the Department of Human Settlements, then the money and the staff establishment and the administrative expenditure would move too. I think it would be completely naive of us to think that this will be a clean and neat process. It's likely to be a complex process with gaps. Often when you split administrative programs such as corporate services, these processes are never clean and neat because it's hard to ring-fence such cross-cutting programs. And that's why we think that in many cases we'll be completed with the process by the adjustments budget, but I'm also sure that in many cases we'll not be complete by the adjustments budget and we'll only reflect the new program structure and the new budget structure in the February budget next year.
Members, let's give the department the opportunity to respond to the first line of questions. I know there's lots of clarity you want. We can take a second and a third round. We've got time until 11:30 for this meeting. So to Mr. Naidu, please answer the first round of questions and we take a second round and go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Honourable Member, the personnel cost pressures question that you raised, I assume you're talking about the Department of Correctional Services. Or is it more general?
No, it was on the slide that was shown that so much the
It was indicated on the slide.
We do face a number of personnel pressures. If the question is generic, we face a number of personnel cost pressures. For example, we budgeted 500 million, a billion, and 1.5 billion for the doctor's OSD. That's likely to cost around 400 million more per year, and so there's pressure that we're facing from that point of view. The specific point you're making on correctional services, as you would know, the department overspent in 2008-09 by almost 500 million, 483 million. The bulk of that was on personnel. This is a department that has been unable to reduce its overtime bill, and there's been a promise of an occupation-specific dispensation for the Department of Correctional Services, and so there's significant cost pressures there. There's a long history of problems on the personnel management side in this department. I'll just try and give you a little bit of a flavor of it. In 2005, the Department of Correctional Services had a very high unit labor cost. The unit labor cost in this department was higher than police, higher than education, even higher than in the Department of Justice. And there were two reasons for that. The first is that the overtime bill was very high, And the second is they had a very expensive medical aid in the form of MedCorp. The Treasury then came to an agreement with the department that we would give them money for 7,000 additional staff so that they can reduce their overtime burden. Bill, we gave them money for 7,000 additional staff. The problem is everybody, including those 7,000 people, now also get the overtime pay. And while their unit labor costs came down in 2006, they've since gone up in 2007 and 2008. And today the average unit labor cost in correctional services is higher than in education, is higher than for prosecutors, etc. And we're quite worried that that's an unsustainable situation. So while we've provided some additional resources, this department still has much work to do in managing its personnel costs down to more affordable and sustainable levels. I've answered several of the questions in terms of the allocation of new functions and the reconfiguration of departments. Honorable Harris has asked about the ESCOM loan. It's a 60 billion rand loan to ESCOM over 3 years, of which 10 billion was paid in financial year 2008-09, 30 billion in 2009-10, and 20 billion budgeted in 2010-11. It's what's called a deeply subordinated loan, in that other investors don't see it as a loan but see it as an equity injection so that it supports their balance sheet. The terms of the loan are that there's a nominal interest rate for the first 10 years that the entity, ESCOM, doesn't effectively have to pay that back if their financial metrics aren't sound enough. After 10 years, the interest rate rises, and then they would have to pay that back. But we anticipate that they would refinance that loan at some point before the 10-year period has expired because the interest rate rises quite sharply after the 10-year period. The agreement is a public document. I think it's available from the Treasury website, the specific loan agreement with ESCOM. As I pointed out on rural development, yes, at the moment the vote is simply the old land affairs budget. We would have to move elements of the old Department of Provincial and Local Government, the Integrated Sustainable Rural Development Program budget, but there are also components of the old Department of Agriculture budget that might also move to this department to supplement the rural development vote. But those processes are still underway. Why is the restitution money specifically and exclusively appropriated? It's mainly because, let me get to your second question first. Will that amount provide for the complete winding up of the restitution process? I think the short answer is no. The remaining claims, there's about 3,500 odd, are quite complex and costly legal processes. Even if we had all the money to resolve those claims, they won't be resolved in 1 year. The department has been quite frank about the fact that it would take 3 to 4 years because of the very complex technical legal processes that are underway in each of those claims. And so we expect that amount to provide for some progress this year, but certainly not to complete the process. The amounts are specifically and exclusively appropriated because we wouldn't want the department to move money that's budgeted for restitution towards something else. But the quid pro quo is that if they don't use the money this year, the restitution process still has to be completed, so we would have to roll that over so that they can complete the restitution process. In some ways, this is not really a time-bound budget. It's an objective-bound budget. So the objective is to complete the restitution process. If we think it'll cost 5 billion rand, then it doesn't really matter whether the money is spent over 2 years or 4 years. But that's how long the process would take. And the same case for the integrated the housing program. There might be a temptation for the department to take some of the housing grant money and use it for programmatic funding within the department, and we've exclusively appropriated it so that what's for building houses is only for building houses. It's not a once-off amount. It's a recurrent amount. We provide that order of magnitude on an ongoing and annual basis. I think I've answered all the questions, Chair, if I've missed out any.
Okay, so with regard to the first question I asked, this appropriation bill reflects exactly to the February budget. However, and I understand that any changes that get made from now on would have to be reflected in October. In the context of the tax revenues, which the finance minister announced could be up to 60 billion rand down, and yet our expenditure clearly is staying up, like it was announced in February, is staying at the higher levels, is it not going to be too late by October to make that adjustment, and will that not have quite severe consequences for the budget deficit? If we understand we're raising less tax, but we're pushing ahead with all the expenditure we announced, are we not going to have a problem in a few months' time?
Comrade
Chairperson, I'm still stuck on the original question. As explained, I'm tempted to ask this question. Is it not proper that we retained the original naming of this department as it is in line with the current budget that we are faced with? Is it not proper to suggest that? Because I'm tempted to say the appropriation bill in front of us is misleading in terms of this new name, which does not actually reflect the mandates which have been financed. It is misleading. And then the other question, Chair, is in relation with how Treasury expects the implementation of this particular budget when you have the Minister of Human Settlement, but the money that he must administer with his DG is located under another department because the monies have not been shifted. How is it expected to be implemented? Are we going to have a situation where the DG is going to always ask, you know, it's for approval from another DG in another department for certain money to be used to pay for certain activities? How do they expect that to function? I think I just need clarity on that one, Chair, so that I'm a little bit clear in my mind. Thanks.
Asked if we could have a page where we have the old departments and the new ones with lines saying this is going to be that. When you stand in a classroom in grade 12, you explain it to the learners in that fashion. That would just make it a bit easier. I gave classes sometime a few years back. On the lease.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only classes I've ever given are Sunday school. Mr. Chairman, I understand fully what Treasury is saying about this. So essentially, you know, the process I understand is going to take a while and it's complicated, et cetera, but the clarity I think I got was that the figures haven't yet been changed at all, and that's fine. And so then I kind of agree with my colleague about names and so on. But nevertheless, I'll pass on that one. The question on the housing, my concern is that you probably all know how new I am here, and I come from a council background, is that there are huge amounts of money sitting in bank accounts in municipalities which come from provincial housing grants which aren't being spent. And here we have another 12 billion which we're going to appropriate for those purposes. And consequently, or that was why I asked the question, how are we going to spend this money in the same channels in the past, which means it's going to go out there and sit in bank accounts. My old municipality, I think, has something like 60 million sitting there and has had for years, and we couldn't get the money spent for various reasons. We don't want to go into that here. And so that was my concern about this particular one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Mr. Naidu.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me try and deal with the function shifts and the new names again, because it's so important. Yes, we have not completed the process whereby we've identified the amounts and been able to shift them to the new votes. We've not completed that process. We're not principally responsible for that process. The process is being coordinated by the DPSA. It is a complex process. We are hoping that we are able to complete the process by October, and we've told departments that any department or departments that are ready by October, we will include in the adjustments budget the function shifts. My own sense is that there are going to be several departments that will still not have completed the process, and therefore the new functions and the budgets will only be reflected in February next year. And, you know, I think that that's not ideal, but that's because the process is quite a complex one. We would have loved for the process to have been completed now, so we can tell Minister Gugile and Quinty that you have X, and X is made up of apart from here, apart from there, and apart from here, and you're accountable and responsible for that. So I think that we would have loved to have been in that position, but we're not yet in that position. In some areas, there's disagreements on what moves to where. There's disagreements on the structure and what moves and how many people move and on which programs move and move where. In other areas where there's less disagreement, it's more a technical process of identifying the amounts in the budget, identifying the post-establishment, and then moving those. The reason why we have to create the new departments is because legally the new ministers have new names, and the new ministers are accountable for the delivery of those services in their new mandates, and the new departmental names have to reflect that. And so even the new Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, yes, part of the budget is still the old Department of Agriculture budget, but that minister would immediate effect have oversight over the fisheries budget within Environmental Affairs and Tourism and the forestry budget within Water Affairs. And similarly, the Minister of Human Settlements, there's a debate about whether the municipal infrastructure grant moves to housing. Let's assume that that moves to housing. My understanding is that the minister would immediately have political oversight over that, and the adjustments budget the adjustments budget gives us the legal basis to move the funds from one department to another, and therefore the accounting officer in housing would be accountable for the funds that are spent, even if they're spent now by Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. That's the way in which the legal process works. The adjustments budget will attempt to correct those things. What would happen if we don't approve this budget, or we don't table, or we didn't table a revised or amended appropriation bill? There are two problems that would happen if we didn't. The first is that departments are only allowed to spend up to 45% of the previous year's appropriation in aggregate, and therefore in some cases departments would start to run into problems with not having enough money to implement their new programs. And thereafter, that 45% in the first 6 months, then they can only spend 10% of the previous year's appropriated amount. And so departments would run into trouble because they would run out of money, especially in programs that have grown rapidly, such as the Municipal Infrastructure Grant or the School Nutrition Program, for example, where 45% of the previous year's budget is actually quite a small amount. The second legal problem that we would get into is the accountability issue. If we had not changed these names, the Public Service Act gives the ministers certain power, especially over personnel functions, and the Public Finance Management Act gives the accounting officer certain powers, especially over financial issues, and those two would have been misaligned, and we would run into legal difficulties in terms of the accountability to spend money if we had not changed the names of the votes. So that's why we had to do this, and also why we aren't even further more advanced down the line. Minister Gordhan last week, Wednesday, in Parliament, said that as a country, we have a choice. When revenue falls, we can either cut spending now in line with falling revenue, or we can maintain the level of spending and borrow the difference. If you do the first, if you cut spending now, then you can grow spending when the economy recovers. But if you do the second, if you maintain your level of spending now by borrowing the difference, then your ability to increase revenue after the economy, increase spending after the economy recovers is compromised. You would have to have a period of slower growth in public spending. We think it's better that we maintain our level of spending now, that we don't reduce budgets now. The spending level, the aggregate spending level as proposed in the 2009 budget, be used to shape both the 2009 adjustments budget and the 2010 budget. But that also means that in aggregate we won't be able to increase the level of spending. And even after the economy recovers, we'd still have to have a period of fiscal consolidation. If we have to cut budgets now dramatically by up to 50, 60 billion, which is the size of the revenue shortfall, what would we cut? Those things that would make most sense to cut are very hard to cut, and those things that are easy to cut would make the least sense to cut. It's easy to cut capital budgets. It's easy to defer capital projects, but that would make the least sense. It's easy to postpone maintenance, but that would make the least sense. It's easy for us to give below inflation social grant increases, but that would make the least sense in the present economic environment. So what would we cut? And the truth is that we would have to, if we had to cut in this financial year, we would have to make cuts that would be damaging to our economy and not positive to the economy. And so our view is that we should maintain the spending levels, and we'll have to be some shifts within that. We have to spend more on doctor salaries. We have to spend more on public employment programs. But that means we'll have to spend less on other things. And we think that it would be too damaging to make that size cuts, especially in the short term. But it does mean that the spending plans for the outer years that were tabled in the 2009 budget would also set a ceiling on how much we can spend, and therefore public spending growth would have to be relatively low, not negative, but relatively low for a few years. I think I've covered the three questions to ask, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add briefly on to what Mr. Naidu has said about the first issue about the renaming of and the creation of additional budget votes, etc. In light of the processes that were initiated by the DPSA in the restructuring of the departments, and we were advised that there were going to be two proclamations that would shortly be published, and they have now been published. One of them is to amend Schedule 1 to the Public Service Act and establish the new departments, and one is to also transfer some of the responsibilities and functions to various ministers in respect of particular pieces of legislation. So those two proclamations have now been published. And in light of that, we then had to consider the appropriation bill as it had already been tabled and try to determine what is the best approach to take in this interim transition period to try to minimize disruptions on service delivery and the ability of new departments and existing departments to carry out functions. And we considered whether we should try to table a completely new bill with just the new departments, or in terms of the fact that there was not sufficient clarity in respect of what all of the implications were and exactly where some functions were going to be transferred, it really wasn't possible to come up with a really good estimates on a lot of these new budget votes for potential allocations and where functions were actually going to go. And so in the end, it was determined that for this interim period, this approach that's been described today was the best mechanism for this difficult interim period to try to ensure that functions can continue and the new departments can start being established, and the scoping functions and transfers of functions can be engaged in, and that's going to take several months at least, and probably in some departments it will take at least the rest of this financial year to sort out all of those issues and transfer the functions properly. So this seemed to be the best possible approach in what was inevitably going to be rather a difficult and rather somewhat messy situation to deal with. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I'm tempted to support my colleague, the honorable member. There are two departments. The other one is the old one, having budget. They are spending 45% of the actual budget. And then the other new one doesn't have a pass. It's also told to spend 45% of the original budget, let's say agriculture. Why rush? Why was the work study being conducted so that the whole process went, the funding, and thereafter the appointment? They started with the appointment and thereafter goes to the allocation of funds. But we don't understand. Can we get that clarity?
Anyone else? Honorable Mashile?
Yeah, Chair, the difficulty of this particular exercise that Treasury is involved in, I think, is appreciated. But one wants to just establish from Treasury and also in the corridors of the new administration whether there is any debate about a possible delay of spending. And if that debate is there, is there any consciousness of a possible heavy rollovers come next year? And if I am moving on the same line, or they are moving on the same line that I'm seeing, are there any measures that are being taken to actually counter that we do spend where we have intended to spend in this financial year? And this confusion, or maybe I should not say confusion, these difficulties do not actually end up impacting on service delivery, I'm sure, Chairperson, anybody that lives in South Africa knows that we are just simply standing on the cliff at any corner on the basis of service delivery. And this particular predicament that they have in Treasury should not compound that problem out there on the basis of service delivery. It should actually be assisting to relieve our people not to be in tension for, you know, for demanding service delivery while we are fiddling around with these other logistical arrangements of budget allocation. Thanks.
Honorable Mashile, you're 100% correct. I apologize, Honorable Gunda, I missed you. You've got the opportunity. I want to sensitize members that we will be calling in departments to deal with their quarterly reports. So that is another way to monitor them in terms of their spending with relation to priorities set out in their strat plans. And we can also call Treasury back during the next 6 months to come and explain again how is this process unfolding. Because we are going out this weekend to do our constituency work for the next couple of weeks. We're going to visit schools, hospitals, clinics, drive on roads, gravel roads, etc. Visit old age homes, creches. You're going to look where is this money going to and bring the issues back. So that will be the process going on. Honorable Gunda.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I've been covered both by you and Honorable Makuba and Honorable Moshishi. But there's this, if Treasury can just explain to us on how, let me just make an example. The Department of Human Settlements and local government where there's housing, who are responsible to come and give an account if money has been spent now for human settlement? And what is human settlement doing right now, since according to this, there isn't money that human settlements can work with, if I do understand it clearly. Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt, Nadi. Just two quick follow-ups. You were speaking, the way you explained the kind of budget balance decision made sense. But in terms of the budget process, you were talking about cutting expenditure. Now, I'm just trying to understand, in terms of that budget process, could you suddenly change expenditure at this point in July? Or would you have to wait until October? You know, if you decided one of the votes, say in the context of lower revenue, we wanted to cut one of the votes by half, could you have amended this appropriation bill now, or would you have to wait till October? That's my one question. And then secondly, if these new department heads are operating within the old budget, the one that I'm concerned about is the presidency. I believe presidency will get three new ministers. Is it the planning, monitoring, and then does the women, children, and that's outside. Okay, but even those two new ministers, Minister Emmanuel and Minister Chobani, they've got a relatively small budget. Does that mean those ministers would be constrained until at least October by the existing budget? And wouldn't that have serious implications for their ability to set up their ministries and do their jobs?
You can respond.
The main gist of the question, again, attempting to find out if we have the most sensible balance during this transition in terms of trying to get the appropriation bill passed and through. To the best of our knowledge, that there isn't a slowdown in spending. There isn't a slowdown in spending, and therefore we hope that there isn't any impact in service delivery. The major programs, including housing, the municipal infrastructure grant, the money on the Department of Water Affairs for sanitation, spending is going according to plan. And we've now got 3 months of data. In the first 3 months of data, we have not noticed any significant slowdown in spending. At the provincial level, education and health spending has been slightly faster than budgeted, but we certainly don't anticipate any significant rollovers, and we certainly don't anticipate that these changes to the macro structure of government would have a negative impact on service delivery. And if we do pick up such trends or problems, we would intervene quite urgently, because the intent of these shifts is certainly not to impact negatively on service delivery. It's to impact positively on service delivery where possible. The housing human settlements, that question has come up several times, and let me make two points about that. Firstly, the vote for the human settlements ministry is now over 12 billion rand, so it's not as though they don't have any money. The debate between the Department of Human Settlements and the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs is about whether the municipal infrastructure grant, which is one of the largest capital programs, shifts to human settlements. That discussion will be concluded in the next few months, but in the interim, there's already very close cooperation between the Ministry of Human Settlements and the Ministry of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs on the allocations of the MIG in line with housing settlements and housing development. So I don't think that there's any chance that we end up with problems there. On whether housing is a national function, a provincial function, or a local function, at the moment, housing is a provincial function. The law allows for municipalities to be accredited to deliver housing. Very few municipalities have actually been accredited. We hope that there will be an increased accreditation of municipalities going forward, so that municipalities can align the delivery of bulk services and infrastructure for which they're principally responsible for with the delivery of houses, and that would facilitate the development of integrated human settlements. The Treasury was very concerned in previous years about what we called fiscal dumping, particularly housing money that was not spent at the provincial level was allocated to municipalities late in the financial year, just so that the province can score the money as spent. But because it happened so late in the financial year, there's little or no chance that the money will actually get spent at the local government level. We're aware of that, and we have raised those concerns with the Department of Housing, the previous Department of Housing. We certainly hope that kind of practice is not continuing. We haven't seen the 2008-09 Auditor General's report about whether that practice is still continuing, but that's something for Parliament to be quite vigilant about. They would need to play an oversight role in that function. On this cut spending, whether it legally we could not change the amounts in the appropriation bill now. We could only make technical corrections. We would have to table an adjustments budget, but technically we could have tabled an adjustments budget today if we were ready, if departments were ready that this amount is moving there and that amount is moving there, we could have done it today. We would have preferred to have done it today because it would have resolved the kinds of issues that Honorable Mashile has raised, and it would have reduced the uncertainty that might be out there. But we're not yet complete with that process. I think our intention in year, it's very difficult to make sizable budget cuts without significantly impacting negatively on service delivery. And so we would prefer not to do that. Theoretically, you can. Theoretically, even in October, we can say that we have reduced the budget for school nutrition, for example. We don't think that would make sense. We think sustaining those programs would make the most sense. Spending in the interim, is continuing, but we think that the adoption of the appropriation bill would provide a legal basis for that spending to continue and would strengthen the ability of government to be able to spend money and deliver services rather than weaken it. So we think that the adoption of the appropriation bill would enable greater oversight and spending rather than inhibit it.
Thank you, Mr. Naidu. Honourable members, we've got a slight problem here. Yes, members that have to attend another meeting, that will impact on our quorum. Are there any other serious questions? Because I said we can call Treasury back again in August or September. Because we must take a decision, this appropriation will be tabled in the House this afternoon.
Yeah, Chair. I just wanted to give Treasury some sort of homework or homework or whatever it is called. Is that to my knowledge, transferring personnel from one department to the other is one of the most difficult processes you can have in the human resources. And now that there is an expectation on this department's reconfiguration of movement of personnel from left to right, to actually have a hand on that so that eventually it doesn't frustrate us. And when they come back to us, one would expect a comment. You know, it's how that is going and if that is actually impacting on the functioning of the new department. Thanks.
Honourable Mashila, you are 100% correct. Members noted their concerns. It's been typed here. I'll have a printout when we leave this meeting. It's my duty on behalf of this committee to report the concerns in the House. Otherwise, we are not doing our job. Irrespective of what we're going to decide, we will have to note the concerns and deal with it when we call the department back to do follow-ups, what happened. And this is an ongoing process. We don't stop this afternoon. Are there any other serious questions? Can we proceed? Honourable members, then what will be tabled this afternoon, the report of the Select Committee, and I'm going to read it to you.
Mr. Chair, would you like us to respond to the...
Thank you, Honourable Chair. One of the major work streams in this transformation process that National Treasury is very much a part of, all of the components that have been set up for this process that's spearheaded by DPSA, is this HR transformation process, and they're having regular meetings. They've already had a couple of work meetings with all of the HR representatives of affected departments to be working together on addressing these issues and clarifying what processes need to be followed and everything. So that's certainly been identified as one of the very major issues that needs to be effectively managed in this process, and it's certainly being addressed and it will be reported back on. Thank you.
Thank you for that reassurance. Honourable members, what will then be tabled this afternoon is a report of the Select Committee, and I read to you. Report of the Select Committee on Finance and Appropriations on the Appropriation Bill B5B 2009, National Assembly, Section 77, dated 8 July 2009. The Select Committee on Finance and Appropriations, having considered the subject of the Appropriation Bill B5B 2009, National Assembly, Section 77, referred to it and classified by the JTM as a Section 77 bill, reports the bill without amendments. But as I told you, that the concerns of the committee will have to be raised, and that's what we will be dealing with in future when we call Treasury back. Are you, Orville Harris?
Thank you, Chair. If you could just advise, we would like to register our objections to several of the votes. Is this, should we register, we add that to the report, or does that come in later?
Well, as I understand, you know, the experts must assist me. There will be time in the sitting this afternoon where parties can make declarations. And that's where a party have an opportunity to fit your concerns into your declaration regarding education, public works, or what the case may be.
There's no opportunity in the report to register our objections.
Well,
Honorable Chair, I don't think that will be necessary to put that in the report. It's only when I make new amendments or something like that. But in the declaration, they can do that.
See, Honorable Harris, that's also what Treasury informed us this morning and briefed us on. The budget stays the same. The adjustments is coming. So we can't do anything now about this, except we are concerned about certain things. That is so.
So as long as our concerns are noted.
It will be noted. It will be noted. Honourable members, if that's okay with you, can we adopt this report then to the House? Honourable Mashile?
After this hard debate, I am moving for the adoption of this resolution, Chair.
There was a proposal. Is there a seconder?
Yes, Chair. I second Honourable Mashile.
Thank you, Honourable Gunda. After the deliberations and all the debates in the House the past few days, we've had quite good debates. We then adopt this, and this will then go to the House. Honourable members, just before you leave, a friendly request. Part of our work is to visit municipalities in provinces. But I need guidance from you and the committee section that you go back, we're going into constituency period now, and inform us in your province which municipalities do you identify that you want this committee to visit. And then report back to the Secretary Zolani. It's today the 8th of July. There's 22 days before the end of the month. Within the next 22 days, if possible, give some feedback to our committee secretary. The management committee will then get together at a specific time to deal with the information we received and then see how we program ourselves to go out, to go and visit the municipalities, because we can invite them here, but there's going to be a surprise. They won't turn up here because they're in trouble. And that's a fact. I'm deployed. My constituency is Kamiesberg municipality. This guy is on a club bay, Kamieskroon, and 14 other small towns in the mountains. And they are in trouble. But we can't just hit them for to and after to slant. We must come up with a solution to assist them. It's not just giving them a hiding. What are we going to do to assist municipalities to do the job better? Because there's no more funding coming. Listening to Treasury, listening to the Minister of Finance, seeing that it's going to cost $400 million per year more for OSD salaries, you will have to go and borrow it. If you don't have it, you must borrow it at a percentage interest rate. So that will be the direction, but to keep our debt small at a lower rate. Honourable members, you've got the program as we dealt with it in the previous meeting. It's been adjusted. The reason why it's been adjusted, not to clash with the other committee like environmental affairs and land reform. Environmental affairs and land affairs, yes. So, and the committee section assisted us. So we will then be calling in the FSC and then dealing with the reports on the conditional grants and calling in also the departments to monitor their spending. They will send to us their submissions that will be circulated to you. The departments will appear in front of us for 15 minutes and ample time will be given for questions, because that's where we come in to see how the conditional grants have been spent in the different provinces, as well as with municipalities. Honourable members, with that brings us Honourable Mashile.
Chair, I actually just wanted to raise this matter as you are giving us some homework over the recess to say there are a couple of municipalities that are on the news. The Solplakis, the Mkondos, the Tabachews, which have lost the 3.2 million unceremoniously. And while waiting for us to come with those particular input, is it not possible that we can, to our personnel, maybe ask them to detach some research on those particular municipalities that are already facing problems, so that then we get, when you come back, we get some report on them as well, you know, on their status, whether it's the problems they have is financial or it is capacity issues, what are the stories, so that we can also take a decision on them. Thanks.
Honourable Member, thank you for that input. Mr. Tau, on my right-hand side, he's a parliamentary researcher. I think he will assist us with that. He's very capable of doing it. And also go back to the AG's report on municipalities. There is such a report. As well on departments spending. The 3-4 weeks ago on the front page of the Sunday Times, there was a report referring to the AG's report. What's happening in certain departments. So you can as well give that to members. Honourable members, thank you for your input, your participation to the department for the presentation. This brings us to the end of the meeting. This meeting stands adjourned. Thank you. There goes the bell.